Time for Recollections. The National Broadcasting Company invites you to relax and reminisce with Recollections from the early days of radio. In this special series, we delve into the vast NBC library of sound to relive the memorable moments of radio's past, the stars who entertained you then, the special events that thrilled you. And to guide us through these priceless recollections, here is Ed Herlihy.
Thank you, Fred Collins. Well, friends, it's nice to be back with you after dusting off a few items from NBC's Library of Sound. There are so many things I want to play for you tonight. Things like a song by Gloria Swanson and Red Skelton's first big-time radio appearance. But first, to fulfill some of your requests. Many of you have written in to ask for Cliff Edwards, Ukulele Ike, who was a favorite when radio was a mere infant. Now, this song Cliff did many times on the air, and if you say to yourself as you're listening to it, "Oh, of course I remember," then you are recalling things that happened in 1933. For that's the date on this recollection from our NBC Library of Sound.
Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Ukulele Ike. I wonder how many of you can remember when Red Skelton was a newcomer in radio. Well, it was a fast 20 years ago, for Rudy Valley first presented him to a nationwide audience back in August of 1937. Rudy introduced him as a promising youngster from the variety stage, a young fellow on the way up. And on that first big appearance, Red did the famous donut dunking routine that many of us have heard and many have seen in later years. So just for old time's sake, let's go back to that August night in 1937 when Rudy Valley gave him this introduction.
Red is an Indiana boy who has been making good in a big way all over what's left of the variety circuits. Among variety performers these days, he's unique in that he's always working. He holds the post-depression record. 55 weeks' work out of 57 in the larger key cities. He's young, likable, red-headed, ambitious, and fellow citizens, he's going places. We want you to meet Red Skelton.
Hello, Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much, Rudy. Now, this is my second time in New York, and it's my first time on a big program. I told all the folks back home that I would tell them about New York, so I went on a little sightseeing tour today. I like the buildings here in New York. They're all big. We have several skyscrapers in Vincennes, but they're nothing compared to here. This Radio City building, for instance. Now, our American National Bank building is six stories high. That's including the basement. But this Radio City building, it's really big. I was talking to the doorman a few minutes ago, and he says, you know, this afternoon a fella jumped off the top of this place. I said, did he get hurt? He says, well, we don't know yet. He doesn't land till tomorrow. I like the elevators here in Radio City. Eight stories, they bring you up in 2 seconds. Sure, that's Rockefeller Center. I don't know. Thanks a lot. Rudy and I were having breakfast together this morning in a very high-class restaurant, Joe's Place. It's very reasonable. In fact, you can eat dirt cheap. I don't know. But there were a lot of people sitting around this morning in the restaurant with donuts and coffee, and they were dunking. Rudy, would you mind if I dunked a few donuts here tonight?
Certainly not. Make yourself right at home.
Well, could I have some donuts and coffee?
Donuts and coffee coming up. Here you are, Red.
Well, thank you. That's what I call service. Now, when dunking, never remove your hat because it comes in handy later on. Now, the next thing you do is find the temperature of your coffee. Coffee looks like something they rang out of a mop. Coffee should be at a certain temperature when used for dunking. If it's too hot, the donut will become soggy before you can eat it. So you use the index finger as a thermometer. Now, that's too hot for dunking, but how do you cool it? It's bad manners to blow into a cup. But it is proper while dunking to cool coffee to pour it in a saucer. But you still can't blow, because if you don't use your judgment now and you blow too hard, the fella sitting across the table from you will get it right in the kisser. So you take off your hat and you fan it. Now, we have different types of donuts used for dunking. First, we have the streamlined donuts. They digest so fast you've got to take the bicarbonate of soda first. Then we have the German donut, better known as pretzels. A pretzel's a donut with a cram. Then we have the Jewish donuts, bagels. You know what a bagel is? That's a donut dipped in cement. Now we have different types of people and the way they dunk. First, the cross-eyed man. He's allowed 2 cups of coffee. Now, not to embarrass him, he sets 1 foot from the table. The cup and saucer he holds in his hand merely acts as a stooge for the one on the table. While everyone else is dunking, the cross-eyed man dunks this way, looking into the cup in front of him and dunking into the cup on the table. We have the society dunkers, the debutantes. You know what a debutante is. That's an old maid who overdid it. Now, they use a little more with a knife and a fork. Not because they want to, but because they want to show off. They dunk with a fork with the greatest of ease. Next, we have the sneakers. Now, a sneaker is the lowest type of all dunkers. They sit around with a cup and saucer. When no one's looking, they dunk. Then when someone is looking, the dirty sneak, they dunk this way, breaking off a bit of the donut, dropping it in the coffee, saying, oh my, look what I've done. pardon me while I rinse that last baby down. That coffee, I asked for weak coffee, but that stuff's helpless, I don't know. Now, never dunk a doughy donut. If you dunk a donut that's too fresh, along with it becoming sodgy, I mean, so help me, after tonight, I'll never look another one of these things in the face as long as I live. Well, they get bigger every time I do it. Here, everybody, help yourself down there to a donut. I'll be seeing you in a few minutes.
Red Skelton, in 1937, his first appearance on a big network program. Many of us remember Gloria Swanson when she was the glamorous star of silent motion pictures, but several listeners have reminded me that Gloria Swanson did sing occasionally. In fact, it was she who introduced the song, Love Your Magic Spell Is Everywhere, in one of the early talkies. So, here from our NBC Library of Sound is another song she did on one of our programs in the mid-30s.
If I should lose you, the leaves would wither and die. The birds in Maytime would sing a mournful refrain, and I would wander around, hating the sound of rain. With you beside me, the rose would bloom in the snow. With you beside me, no winds of winter would blow. I gave you my love, and I was living a dream, but living would seem in vain if
the voice of Gloria Swanson, an echo from the past, but reminding us that she is still one of the fabulous personalities of our time. In 1938, the late Walter Houston opened in a musical play, Knickerbocker Holiday. Shortly after, in October 1938, he appeared on an NBC radio broadcast and did excerpts from that show. Going back 19 years, let's recall the dialogue that led into his rendition of September's Song.
And have arrangements been made for the wedding?
Well, I hadn't thought.
Oh, the sooner the better, my dear Tina. The sooner the better. It's a little late today, but tomorrow.
Oh, no, please.
Not tomorrow.
Well, I'm very young, and I'm not ready at all.
How old are you, my dear?
16, sir.
16. Well, you're getting along. I should, of course, defer to your desires in such a matter, but let us understand each other. It is your father's wish that you marry me?
Yes, sir.
And you would hardly oppose your father's decision?
No, sir.
Then, since it's to come sooner or later, my child, and you arouse my ardent affection, I see no point in postponement.
But don't you think you could wait a few years?
Years?
Yes, sir.
Years? You are young, my sweet. You have the world and a lifetime before you. My hair is graying at the temples. Slightly, but gray. The days slip rapidly through my fingers. For my sake, try to overcome your girlish modesty and let me lead you to the altar while the fire burns brightly.
In a few months?
Hmm?
Then a few weeks?
Oh, these months and weeks. When I was a young man courting the girls, I played me a waiting game. If a maid refused me with tossing curls, I'd let the old earth take a couple of whirls. While I plied her with tears in place of pearls. And as time came around, she came my way. As time came around, she came. But it's a long, long while, from May to December. And the days grow short when you reach September. And I have lost one tooth, and I walk a little lame, and I haven't got time for the waiting game. and the days dwindle down to a precious few. September, November, and these few precious days I'd spend with you. These precious days I'd spend with you. So you see, my dear, why wait? Have you memorized the little handful of rules which I drew up as a guidance for the wives of New Amsterdam?
I'm afraid not all of them.
Now, what was the very first admonition on your list, child? Repeat them all from the beginning.
Rules for the wives of New Amsterdam.
One.
A wife should have nothing on her mind which she does not tell her husband, and should tell her husband nothing which does not give him pleasure.
Quite accurate. Quite accurate. Two.
Husband and wife should never pass in the doorway. She should never go out as he comes in, nor come in as he goes out.
And as a corollary, the less she goes out, the better. Three.
She shall avoid all demonstrations of affection, except when alone with her husband. For a Hollander's lady, like Caesar's wife, must be beyond reproach.
A crude rule, but necessary. Four.
No dinner is good unless hot.
There, my dear, is the heart of domestic science. Never forget that rule. Five.
For breakfast, the wife should provide a great number of fresh eggs, which have been boiled 3 minutes by the glass, and a great rasher of bacon neatly fried. And she should smile constantly at her husband across these eggs and bacon. For a man is never at his best in the morning and needs encouragement. Oh, I never can do it,
oh,
never.
Oh, yes, you will do very well in the beginning, my dear, and better later. For as a woman loses her charms, she begins to excel in cookery. Come, my dear, you know the rules. Why wait until tomorrow?
But, sir, there was someone else.
Was there?
Yes, but I'll tell him if I have to. If I have to, I'll tell him.
That's a good girl. Come. Yes, it's a long, long while from May to December. Will a clovering last till you reach September? And I'm not quite equipped for the waiting game, but I have a little money and I have a little fame. For the days turn to gold as they grow few. September, November, and these few golden days I'd spend with you. These golden days I'd spend with you.
That was Walter Houston and the original cast from Knickerbocker Holiday as they appeared on October the 27th, 1938 on the Rudy Valley program. Now for another musical recollection, here's a song by Dick Powell. Oh, yes, my darling daughter, there was a time when Dick Powell was a great singer, long before he began to direct movies and play detective parts. One of his big movie hits was Gold Diggers of 1935, in which he introduced a song which soon became a standard. You'll recognize the song, but you'll find it hard to believe that this was 22 years ago.
Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway, the hippery and ballyhoo, the lullaby of Broadway. The rumble of a subway train, the rattle of the taxis, the daffodils who entertain, and Angelo's and Maxie's. When a Broadway baby says goodnight, it's early in the morning. Manhattan babies don't sleep tight until the dawn. Good night, baby. Good night, baby. milkman's on his way. Sleep tight, baby. Sleep tight. Let's call it a day. Oh, come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway. The hi-di-hi and boop-a-doo. The lullaby of Broadway. The band begins to go to town, and everyone goes crazy. You rock-a-bye your baby round, till everything gets hazy. Hush-a-bye, I'll buy you this and that, you hear a daddy say. And baby goes home to her flat, to sleep all day. Good night, baby. Sleep tight, milkman's on his way. Good night, baby. Sleep tight. Let's call it a day. Listen to the lullaby of old Broadway.
Happy memory of Dick Powell singing Lullaby of Broadway, we end this session of Recollections. But I'll be back next week. And in the meantime, please remember that we do appreciate your cards and letters. Just address them to me, Ed Herlihy, H-E-R-L-I-H-Y, care of NBC, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York. Next week, one of the most treasured items from our storehouse of recollections. It's one of the earliest programs that NBC recorded. A broadcast in which President Coolidge awarded Charles Lindbergh the Distinguished Flying Cross after his history-making solo flight across the Atlantic. Be sure to hear this unusual 1927 recording next week on Recollections. Good night, everyone. Ed Herlihy has been your host on Recollections. Join him next week at this time for more highlights in the history of radio broadcasting. This is Fred Collins. Recollections is an NBC Radio Network production directed by Bob Bauer. Recollections at 30 is another worldwide presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.